And please turn in your Bibles to Judges 11:12, where we left off in Judges as we're doing our study through Exodus, and ran out of time last week. And I was going to just, I sent you home, read the rest. And I know that you did, right? Everybody went home and read the rest, studied the rest. But I just thought that it would be, in light of the continuing conflict in the Middle East, to just and with all the different views that are coming out that are just unbelievable, even conservative sites now are down with the Jews and they're the problem, etc., etc. And that is sweeping the world, sweeping our country. And one of the postings that I sent to several people was just a very masterful deception. In other words, I don't like to say it's a good deception, because you can't, but the way it was twisting the facts of life and history associated with the Jews in a way that would make somebody that knows nothing about their Bible absolutely want to kill the Jews along with the Arabs. And so you're going to run into that, because people are, hundreds of thousands, millions are listening to all this stuff around. And as I said last week, it's my desire that we would have a biblical worldview, that we have to agree with God, that we can't lean on our own understanding. And so we're going to continue in this Judges narrative because it's so applicable to our day. The time of the Judges is before King David, so it's before, 1000 BC, so it's 3,000 years ago is when we're reading this story in Judges, and it's about nations saying, you took our land and we're going to kill you. And that's what's happening today. And the Jews didn't take the land of Hamas. They didn't take Palestine. The history is just unbelievably contrary to that narrative. It is a lie from Satan. And we're going to try and develop that as we go through here. So, last week we did see the Song of Moses as he is rejoicing over God eliminating those who wanted to eliminate the Jews. And then we got to keep this in mind too. If God declares a people to be his, and then people want to destroy those people that are his, who he says are going to be around till the end of time, which side do we want to be voting for? Because God has declared, and as I emphasized last week, he didn't say, because you guys are the most spiritual people that have ever lived and are ever going to live throughout all of history, and you're going to always do what I tell you to do, and so I'm going to make you special. No, he just chose a group of people that are going to stay identified as a special people just by their culture and their looks and everything else. They're going to stay that way for thousands of years, which is a miracle. And he's saying, I'm going to use you, as messed up as you are, to prove that I, the Creator, exist, because I'm going to keep you alive. So every time somebody says, no, we're going to exterminate you, like Pharaoh did, we know who's going to lose. And we don't want to be putting chips on Pharaoh. We know he's going to lose. We know what's going to happen with this. The Arab world wants to exterminate all the Jews. They are not trying to have a two-state solution and then they're going to go have, apple pie and ice cream afterwards, when they set up a two-state solution. That's not the plan. That is a lie from the enemy, and the plan is to exterminate the Jews. So we know what's going to happen, and that they're not going to win. The Jews are going to be hurt, though, as we've emphasized. And there is a map in your bulletins that will help as we go through here. So Judges 11:12, what's happened, and we covered this last week, I'm going to briefly cover for those that weren't here. On the east side of the Jordan River, there were the Edomites, South Jordan, Moabites, Central Jordan, Ammonites, North Jordan, country of Jordan today. And above the Ammonites was the Amorites. They were a Canaanite tribe, and they were, instead of being all in the land of Canaan, where the Jews went into the west side of the Jordan to wipe out the Canaanites, there was a group of Canaanites, Amorites, that were living up north of Jordan, north of Ammon. What's the capital of Jordan today? Ammon. Ammonites. That's where the word comes. That's where the capital city comes from. Ammonites. And so then when the Jews were just getting ready to come into the promised land, the Amorites, God, the Jews are saying, we're going to just go through your land to get over to our land that God is giving us. And the Amorites go, actually, you're not. We're going to kill you. We're going to wipe you all out. And that's our narrative today. And so then they get, the Amorites get wiped out. And 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh decided, we're going to settle on this side. We're going to settle in their land. How many people of the Amorites had to die? A whole bunch. You know, and all this narrative is, you can't create genocide Jews, you can't do this. Okay, the Amorites wanted to exterminate the Jews. And the Jews, to keep alive, had to fight the Amorites. Golda Meir said in the 1973 war, she goes, we can forgive them for killing our children. This is the Jewish mindset. We can forgive them for killing our children, that came, the Hamas people that came in to our kibbutzes in Israel and slaughtering our families. We can't forgive them for that. But what we can't forgive them for is forcing us to have to kill their children. That's the view of a Jew, which is completely contrary to the view of the Muslims who raise their children to go kill Jews. And so we have to understand that in war, for all the history since Cain killed Abel, people have been killing each other. And in some cases, if you have a bunch of robbers trying to come into your house, what are you going to have to do? You either let them kill you or you defend yourself. And what God has declared for the Jewish people to do is you have to defend yourself. Either sometimes when I just wipe out 185,000 Assyrians, I was wrong last week, and nobody raised their hand, heretic. I said 180,000. It was 185,000. Nobody, one person told me. And so that was God having to do that. And it wasn't genocide. It was, I'm not going to let you kill them. And that's the way war is. We didn't want the Japanese and the Germans to come and kill us all. So we had to bomb their cities. We had to do all these things. Nobody was saying genocide. Does everybody understand the narrative there? So this Jephthah is raised up as a judge of Israel because it's before kings. And the people are saying, Jephthah, now the Ammonites are saying that the land that we conquered from the Amorites 300 years ago belongs to them. And they're going to kill us all if we don't, they're going to kill the 2.5 tribes here on the east side of the Jordan if we don't give it back to them. And so Jephthah, will you be our general? And so Jephthah said, yeah. So he sent messengers to the king of the people of Ammon, Jordanians, saying, what do you have against me that you have come to fight against me in my land? And the king of the people of Ammon answered the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land when they came out of Egypt, from the Arnon as far as the Jabbok and to the Jordan. Now, therefore, restore those lands peaceably, or we're going to do jihad. It's the exact same thing. Give it to us. Move out. Get out of those 2.5 tribes, hundreds of thousands of people. Just move, or we're going to kill you. You know, the only land extension of Israel in all the history of the Bible and subsequent has been when people try to kill them. And the Jews defend themselves and they get land. And then you know what they do? They give the land back for peace. For the promise of peace, they give the land back. You know, Gaza was given back to the Egyptians after they won. And then now what did they get? Did they get a bunch of peace? No. And then later on, they gave it back to the Egyptians, but there were still Jews living there. And the Egyptians were saying, okay, you've got your Jewish communities. And then the Jews forced 8,000 of their own people to leave their homes, and they bulldozed the houses so there'd be no way they thought that they would be coming back, to give Gaza to the Muslims completely, and get all the Jews out of there in exchange for the promise of peace. And you know what they've gotten over the years? Thousands of missiles. Thousands of attacks by the Muslims to kill the Jews. So Jephthah, verse 14, again sent messengers to the king of the people of Ammon and said to him, thus says Jephthah, Israel did not take away the land of Moab, which is central Jordan, nor the land of the people of Ammon, northern Jordan. We never even touched you guys because our God told us not to, because you're related to us. You're descendants of Lot. And God says, don't mess with the descendants of Lot. Just, you're going to be over in the Canaanite land because those are the ones that are totally wicked and need to be exterminated. And so I'm leaving you, I want you to leave the Ammonites and the Moabites alone. For when Israel came up from Egypt, they walked through the wilderness as far as the Red Sea and came to Kadesh. And it's actually Kadesh Barnea, meaning the south part of Israel today. And then Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom. You know, so they went to Kadesh, supposed to go into the promised land. They didn't go into the promised land because they didn't believe God. God says you've got to go wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. And so then now Israel's hanging in Kadesh and they're going, well, let's go head down to Arabia. And Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom, go to Arabia through the south side, saying, please let me pass through your land. But the king of Edom would not heed. And in like manner, they sent to the king of Moab, but he would not consent. So Israel remained in Kadesh, and they went along through the wilderness and bypassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, came to the east side of the land of Moab and encamped on the other side of the Arnon, but they did not enter the border of Moab. We never took anybody's land. We asked them if we could just pass. They said no. And so we had to go around them to get to the east side of them. So we're kind of, you know, in the Arabia, what's today Saudi Arabia. So then we wander around in Saudi Arabia as part of our 40 years, and we didn't bother them. And this is really, you know, some of this verse 17 is like the same timing of our Exodus study. And then they wandered for 40 years. Then, after 40 years of wandering, then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, a Canaanite tribe living north of northern Jordan in the area that's called Gilead in your maps that I gave you last week. And then sent messengers to Sihon, a giant, by the way, one of the Nephilim that was there after the flood, a demoniac, a giant, king of the Amorites, not Ammonites, king of Heshbon. And Israel said to him, please let us pass through your land into our place. We're headed to Canaan. Our 40 years of wandering in the wilderness is over. God is telling us that we're supposed to get down to the Jordan River, go cross it to get into Jericho and start conquering the land of Canaan. The only time that the Jews took land by just conquering it is a land that God said, I'm giving you this land. I want you to conquer it. He told Abraham 400 years earlier, the wickedness of the Amorites is not yet complete. So you have to be wandering and getting oppressed and enslaved while I wait for them to get so wicked they have to be dealt with. They have to be judged. And so now we're ready to do that. Amorite king, giant demoniac king, Nephilim, fallen one. And he says, no. Verse 20, but Sihon did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all of his people together and camped at Jahaz and fought against Israel. Now, if he wins, what happens? Israel ceases to exist. He brought all his people and he says, no, we're going to exterminate you. And so what was happening in, you know, leading up to 1948, Jews were coming from all over the world. Where were they headed? They were headed to the land of Israel. You know why? Because God flipped a switch on them. It's time for Ezekiel 36:37 to be fulfilled. In Ezekiel 36 is God saying to the land of Israel, you're desolate. You haven't had your Jews. And I'm going to be bringing them back. And when I'm bringing them back, I want you to be revived. You're going to go from desert to producing. You're going to explode with provision for my people that I'm bringing back. And the Jews were realizing, why aren't we, you know, it was like, go back to the promised land. And, you know, different people were leaders of the Zionist movement telling Jews from around the world, it's time to go back to our homeland. What was in the homeland, according to Mark Twain, the place was desolate. There weren't any trees. They had cut down all the trees over the years. See, the promised land of Israel without the Jews is desolate. When God's Jews are back in the land, it flourishes. It blossoms. There was not malaria, swamps, and everything else. When the Jews started coming back, in the 1800s they started coming back, late 1800s, they then revived a language that it was dead for almost 2,000 years. In fulfillment of prophecy, the Hebrew language would come back. And somebody said, we need to bring Hebrew back. And Hebrew became the language again after being dead for hundreds and hundreds of years in fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Ezekiel 36, the land is going to be restored. It's fulfilled. Ezekiel 37, now I'm going to bring the people back. It's going to be like an old graveyard with graveyard of bones that are all dried up and dead for a long time. The Jews were dead. It scattered in the nations of the world for 2,000 years. And God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can those dead bones live? God, you answer. And then all of a sudden he just sees the bones come together. I sure we hope we get reruns with Ezekiel. So he goes, wow, God. It's just the rebirth of the nation of Israel is just as miraculous as watching an old graveyard with a bunch of bones saying, hey, can they live again? Not a chance. Oh, tell me, God, what do you think? Yeah, they're going to live again. And it's miraculous that they've been brought back. We have to understand as Christians, biblical Christians, let the world say what they want. There's an entire biblical spiritual history, and it's about God declaring, I'm going to do the miraculous with these people, as messed up as they are. I'm going to do the miraculous to prove to the world that there is a God. And he so loved him, he sent Jesus. And so they fought against Israel. They would have wiped them out. But God didn't let it happen. So if they can't wipe the Jews out, what do the Jews have to do? They have to wipe them out. And what would that wiping out have done? Men, women, and children. And it's just the reality. It's the reality of war. It's just the reality of your own life. If somebody was coming after you and it was you or them and they're trying to come after your kids and annihilate you and exterminate you and you're not genocidal for saying, I'm not going to die. And, you know, one of the things of the restoration of the Jews in the Jewish state in 1948 is you're not sending us to the chambers. You're not sending us to the gas chambers anymore. We're not going to do that. We're living in the land of Israel. This is our land. And we got it by a UN decree. And by you losing wars and us getting more land. And we're not going to just let you kill us. We have to accept that. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all of his people into the hand of Israel, and they defeated them. Thus Israel gained possession of all the land of the Amorites who inhabited that country. They took possession of all the territory of the Amorites from the Arnon to the Jabbok and from the wilderness to the Jordan. And that would have included, again, completely emptying their cities, going to each one of the cities of that were ruled over by Sihon. And verse 23, and now the Lord God of Israel has dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. Should you then possess it? Will you not possess whatever Chemosh? That's the idol, the idols of the Ammonites. They're God. And what's behind every idol according to the Bible? Demons. What about your demon God? See, the true God prevented us from being annihilated by the Amorites, and because we had to kill them, we had to kill their children because they wanted to kill our children. And we can forgive them for killing our children, but we can't forgive them for making us kill their children, because all they had to do is just not kill us, just let us go through the land. And so God gave us that victory so that we wouldn't be exterminated according to his promises, which he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he keeps his promises. And so now why are you saying that we have to clean out of this land that God gave us because of people trying to kill it, and it was never yours? That's what he's saying. And you know, why isn't your Satan God able to do it? Because Satan isn't as powerful as God. But you know what? Here's the thing about Satan. He thinks he's as powerful. We learned that from Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. He no matter how, you know, we talked about Pharaoh losing 11 rounds with God. Satan's on probably 1,000 or thousands. And he keeps on thinking that he can do what he needs to do to make this Bible and God's promises null and void. That's why he's thinking, I'm going to get all the Arab nations and I'm going to bring them all against the Jews. And they have missiles and they have tens of thousands of missiles. God, how are you going to stop my people from doing that? Well, God's got an answer. We're going to find out what it is pretty soon. And And here's another thing Golda Meir said. There will never be peace until our Arab neighbors love their children more than they hate us. Isn't that an interesting quote too? Golda Meir. So whatever the Lord our God takes possession of before us, we will possess. If God gave us victory over people that want to kill us, we're going to stay in the land. We're not going to just roll over and die. And the Jews never stole the land from the Palestinians. And let's look at your map in 19. I gave you all a map. I know you guys hate history, okay, but it's all right in church. This is the official map that was in November of 1947. The United Nations partitioned Palestine. Now, and here's another piece of news. Where did the land get called Palestine? It goes back to the Romans. The final revolt of the Jews against the Romans was around 130 AD. At 70 AD, they destroyed Jerusalem. Then there was another Jewish guy that, we're going to take this back for God. And the Romans put it down. They finished complete destruction of all vestiges of Judaism. And then they called the land as a snub to the remaining Jews that were still alive that were scattered through the world. We're going to call it, this isn't Israel. This isn't Judah. This is Palestine. After their arch enemy, the Jewish arch enemy, which was what? Philistines. Where did the Philistines live? Gaza. When you're reading the Bible and you read Philistines all the time, like David and Goliath, the Philistine champion, Gaza. It's in the area of where Gaza is. And so they named the land Palestine. But again, there was no king of Palestine. There was no nation of Palestine. There was people in and out of there. There were some Jews that stayed there. There were Arabs that stayed there, nomadic Bedouins that stayed there. But the land became desolate because the Jews were kicked out and they were living side by side. And then the Jews started coming back. And during World War I, and this is when we were on a tour to southern Israel in the city of Beersheba, which when you read about Beersheba, Abraham dug a well there, everything, history of Abraham. And our tour guide was saying that this is a battle scene. This is a battle scene between the British Army and the Ottoman Empire Turks, the Turks of the Ottoman Empire, who were in control of the area of Palestine, and the Turk, Ottoman Empire, Palestine. And the Brits were coming and saying, no, yeah, we're going to conquer you. And the very day the British Army defeated, they've made a movie of this battle, by the way, the day that the Brits defeated the Ottoman Empire troops, unknown to them, in the Parliament in England, in UK, they're voting on Balfour's declaration to, if victory is given to that area, that there needs to be the reestablishment of the Jewish state so Jews have a place to live. Because there was no place for the Jews to live. There's a lot of Arab states. There's nations for every other people group in the world, except for the Jews. They're wandering around. They have no state. And Balfour felt with godly conviction, we need to let the Jews come back to their land and create a state. Well, that day the Brits won. And they also found out, and then looking at this other map on the next page, the bottom one here, you look at this bottom one. Guess what was being discovered about that same time of World War I? Oil. And the Industrial Revolution. The coming Industrial Revolution, oil, and everything else. The discoveries of oil, were they in Israel? No. It was in all the Arab countries. And so the Arabs go, look, and see that little red dot on that map? That's Israel. Those poor... Why don't those suckers just leave that land and go someplace else? They've got too much land. They're surrounded by the entire Arab Muslim world. And the Brits, because they're still the empire and they need oil and everything, they go, do we want to offend the Muslims or do we want to offend the Jews? Guess what they picked? We want to offend the Jews. And so then they started, no, we're not going to give them a Jewish state. Then World War II breaks out. And the Holocaust breaks out. And people are all for exterminating the Jewish problem. You know, if we can get that red dot off the map, then we can have peace in the world. This is how the globalists think. Why do those Jews are just such a problem? Why don't they just, you know, why can't you just die, as a famous movie line? Why can't you just die? Well, because God wants the whole world to think that and that they can do it, because when he doesn't let them die, he's putting a big stamp. You're not going to kill my kids. You're not going to exterminate them because I'm God and you guys are not. And it, actually, Zechariah says, though all the nations of the world are gathered against Israel and Jerusalem, they will not be defeated. And any country that tries to pick them up, to throw them away, I'm paraphrasing, is going to find themselves getting judged by God. And so then the Jews really realized after World War II, they realized, we got to get to Israel. Because we just got stuffed in a bunch of ovens. And if we don't get someplace where people don't hate us for the way we look and the way we are, we need to find a place to camp. And so the United Nations is dealing with that problem. And they partition. And they go, okay, you guys can have a Jewish state. But the Brits were ruling over this whole area. Do you think the Brits were helping the idea that the Jews were going to be declaring statehood? You know what they did is they kept, to the extent that they could, they kept the Jews from having so much as a handgun. And so Jews became terrorists to the Brits, the Haganah. And it was like, we know that now the world is trying to finish us all off and exterminate us because we're in this state, there's going to be a statehood, and all the Arab nations are going to destroy us, and you Brits who rule this place are not letting us have anything, and you're arming up and preparing the Arab nations to snuff us out on the day that we declare a state. And you know what? Did the Americans help them? Absolutely not. It was forbidden for any American citizen to participate in helping the Jews. It was forbidden for any of the World War II military surplus equipment, including planes, rifles, armament, and anything to go to the state of Israel. There were Americans who worked around that and lost their citizenship for having successfully done so. That the Israeli Air Force was formed by an American who got around in extremely delicate special ops to get 5 Messerschmitts to Israel. And because God used a massive Israeli Air Force of 5 Messerschmitts in the Battle of Independence to turn around a column of Egyptians to come and wipe out everybody in Tel Aviv and destroy the place, the war turned around and the War of Independence was settled in favor of Israel. And so they stripped that guy of his American citizenship. So America wanted the Jews dead. The Brits wanted the Jews dead. Everybody wanted the Jews dead, except God. And God used people miraculously to allow them to survive. And, by the way, Mark Twain wrote about Israel when he traveled there in 1869. He recorded how desolate it was, how there weren't people there. It was Innocence, his book is Innocence Abroad. And so 1948, they wanted to exterminate the Jews. Didn't happen. 67, the war was going to happen to exterminate them. Didn't happen. The Jews lived. 73, the same thing. And then going back to this top map here, and actually going back to this map, right here. See, you go, wow, Israel got a lot of land down there on the south. But the Arab nation, what was supposed to be the two-state solution, this is the two-state solution, agreed by the United Nations, accepted by Israel. Israel says, fine with us. Arab nations said, nope, we're going to exterminate that turquoise part called Israel. And so the West Bank, all of the West Bank, including surrounding all of Jerusalem, was the Arab state. But you see, Jerusalem is in white. That's where the international community realized, you know, Jerusalem is such a problem city. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says Jerusalem will become a cup of trembling to the world. It'll be the problem child of the world. This city, one city in the world, becomes a problem for everything that's going on in the world. And so they said, we're going to make that an international city. We're going to have international peace operatives are going to keep this city from belonging to either one of them because of its contention. And so then and then you look at this map on the top, the yellow. Look at how much of the West Bank is now in Israel's control, and that's because five Arab nations invading Israel on the day after they proclaimed statehood lost. They lost, miraculously lost. And then you see that Israel had West Jerusalem, but they were not allowed into Temple Mount or anything else that, you know, got close to the Western Wall, but they couldn't do anything with Jerusalem till the 67 war. And you can see that Gaza was taken in Israel in 1967, Six-Day War. They took all the Sinai Peninsula, including Gaza. They took charge of Gaza. And then they gave it back in promise for peace with Anwar Sadat. What happened to Anwar Sadat when he made peace with Israel so he could get the Sinai back? They assassinated him. The Arabs assassinated Anwar Sadat because he made peace with Israel. And Israel gave the land back. Well, then what happens now that the Sinai belongs to Egypt? Well, now, right now, Israel has to realize that if Egypt gets involved, and they're talking about doing so, at least they had the buffer of the Sinai before. After 67, they had the buffer of the Sinai. Now they're right at the border of Israel, and all Egypt has to do is they're in Israel to bring their tanks and planes and whatever else to kill the Jews because they gave away the land, the buffer land, in exchange for a promise of peace. And I already told you that the Jews moved out of Gaza. And what did the Jews want? More land? They could use more land, don't you think? And they have children just like you and I have children. Don't you hate it when you have to go to the county and say, could I please build a house? My sons and daughters need to move out. And they say, oh no, you have to wait 6 months for us to get around to a permit. How about if you go, oh no, you're never going to get a permit because you've occupied that land. You're an occupier, and someday we're going to kill all of you, and so we don't want you to take any land. There was a bunch of desolate land that the Jews were moving into. They weren't taking other people. Oh, and this is another important thing. 1948. The Brits wanted them dead. American State Department wanted them dead. And the other thing is, they were all living together. Arabs and Muslims were living together in what became the Jewish state. And what did the Arabs tell the people, the Palestinian Arabs living in the area? What did they tell them before the war started? Leave your homes. What do we take with us? Nothing. Leave your toasters. Leave your laundry basket full. We're going to exterminate them all in a day. And then you can move back to your homes. So just come out. Come out of your homes. Come out of the area. And just let us not do friendly fire on you. So everybody that's left is going to be dead. A dead Jew. And then it didn't work out that way. And you know what the first prime minister of Israel, Ben-Gurion, told those people that had left? You know, they left saying, my friends are going to kill you. Our army is going to kill you, so we'll come back and you're all dead. And Ben-Gurion said, we know you're told to leave. Just come back. Be our neighbors. We don't care. You can live within the state of Israel. Just come back. And you know what the Arabs said? You go back, we'll kill you. You know why? They wanted a Palestinian problem. They couldn't let it stop with that. It would be the recognition of the Jews the Jewish state. It recognizes the Jewish state to let them come in under their rule. And so that's what started the Palestinian refugee problem. It was the Arabs. And by the way, after the 1948 war, the nations that lost, the five Arab nations that lost, what do you think they told the Jews that were living in their countries? get out. Well, you know, I've got a bank account here. Oh, no. No, you don't have a bank account. That's ours. Well, I've got a house here. Can I sell it? No. House is ours. I got cars. I got this, that. No. You know, if you go right now, we'll let you keep the shirt. And thousands of Jews were expelled from the Arab countries with one place to go. The newly formed state of Israel. They got nothing. And now the whole world... So Israel, this little dinky red spot on here, happens to have some people that want to slaughter them that live in Gaza. And they say, why don't you guys just go move someplace where you can stop trying to slaughter us? So we don't have to slaughter you. Go someplace where you can live so we don't have to slaughter you. And the Arab nations go, yet? No, not to my country. We don't like pit bulls either. We don't like rabid dogs either. They all know that the Palestinian death to Israel Muslim extremist cult group is dangerous wherever it goes. And so they are locking down the Palestinian problem so that they can keep the Jewish problem alive until the Jews are exterminated. That is their plan. That is the plan of this war. And we as Christians should not blame the Jews for doing whatever it takes to not die. Because God has, through the prophecy we covered last week, he's told, you know, the psalmist says, God, we got a bunch of people that are surrounding us trying to keep us from ever being named a nation ever again. And would you please defeat them as in the days of the judges? Which, what happened in the days of the judges, God gave miraculous power to the Israeli Defense Forces to exterminate the ones that wanted to exterminate them. And so we have to, man, there is so much bad press on, so much twisting. I'm telling you, this is the true history. You can go read it and yourself. And you know what? I mentioned that video last week, Against All Odds. That was available last week. I tried to watch it again yesterday to make sure I was right about the story about the sandstorm that blew the or the windstorm that blew the sand off the mines. I couldn't get it. But I had already put it on, and this is on Amazon, and I bought the video, which is, it takes a month for it to get here, and we'll show it on an evening service. So Against All Odds, Israel Survives. And it shows the miracles of what happened. And so I had already reserved the one that had seasons. They broke it up into different segments. So I watched that. I did confirm that is the video that does show that. I watched lots of videos. Where the Jews are going through a minefield on the Golan Heights and a windstorm comes and blows all the sand off so they can see the mines before, so they can get through the minefield before the sun rises and they would have all been wiped out. And see, just that should make all the Hamas leaders, all the world leaders, Biden and everybody else, I mean, everybody should realize Pharaoh, have you ever read about Pharaoh? Have you ever read about Sihon, king of Og? Have you read your Bible? You are going to lose. So, I think we're at Judges 11:27. Therefore, I have not sinned against you. 11:27, Judges 11:27. I have not sinned against you, but you have wronged me by fighting against me. Let that be a verse that you use with people. The Jews are not sinning against the world. They just want to stay alive. You, Hamas, you, Hezbollah, you, Jordan, Egypt, Iran, you're sinning against the Jews because you want to exterminate them. And then you cry, oh, genocide, really? I mean, turn yourself, you know, look at yourself in the mirror. What do you want to do? May the Lord, the judge, render judgment this day between the children of Israel and the people of Ammon. And today, that applies. Jordanians are thinking about joining, wiping out the Jews. So much for the peace treaty that they signed. And when I was in Israel, went to and Jordan. We went to Jordan on one of our Israel trips. And we're going to the rock city of Petra. And so we had a Arab Christian bus driver tour guide. during that time. And he is complaining about the pain in the neck Jews who created the Palestinian problem that was affecting the country of Jordan. And, and just that there needs to be, they need to give the right of return. They need to let the Palestinians go back and get the right of return back to their nation and have full rights and all this other stuff. And I go, now, wait a second. Like, in the 1967 war, the main antagonist was Abu Nasser of Egypt. He had promised the Arab world, and he was worshipped by the Arab world because of his massive military buildup where he was about to exterminate the Jews and get rid of the Jewish problem that Hitler didn't finish. In the way, that's the way they think. And he was also using Syria. So he and Syria have agreed we're going to wipe out the Jews. The Jews are having a big internal debate. If we wait for him to attack us, we're going to lose a whole lot of Jews and maybe not even win. And so when they knew, when Egypt shut down access of Israel to the city of Eilat, their southern port where the ships can come in from the Red Sea, the Suez Canal, and even being able to use Eilat, their southern city, even though America had promised to Israel that we will never allow the Arab world to shut down that Suez Canal and your access to Eilat. And we'll come to your defense, which they reneged on. And so Israel goes, okay, our broken reed America, notice the verse in your bulletin, the broken reed America just let us down. That could happen again in this war, by the way. And so Israel right now is trusting, Israel in the old days, they trusted in Egypt to help them. And God, through the prophet, said, why are you trusting in Egypt? You should trust in God. Today, they're trusting in America. And we could disappear. And then Israel goes, oh, how can we survive? And then God's going, remember me. You're trusting in man. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. Blessed is the man who trusts in God. And so Israel might find out that too. So back to Egypt and Syria attacking. Israel knew it was going to happen. They told King Hussein of Jordan, we know what's about to happen. Don't join in. Jordan owns the West Bank. Don't join the war. Don't force us to have to kill your children. Just stay out. So Egypt starts it. Syria is going. Egypt and Syria lie to their people. The radio broadcasts, oh, we're killing them, we're wiping them out, we're destroying the Israeli Air Force, we're destroying the Israeli Army, we're having great victory. And they go to Jordan, they go, you're not going to get any of the spoils if you don't join us. When in fact, Israel has destroyed the entire Egyptian Air Force in 1 hour, sitting on the tarmac. And the Israelis are wiping out the tanks in opposition. So the Arabs are lying to each other, and Jordan decides to enter the war. And so Jordan lost West Bank. And so then I told this Jordanian bus driver, I said, now, wait a second. You owned the West Bank before the 67 war, right? Yeah. And you would have kept the West Bank if Jordan didn't decide to join in slaughtering all the Jews, right? So you lost that land because you attacked the Jews with a mission, along with the Egyptians and the Syrians, to exterminate the Jew, because your Arab Muslim cry out is, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free of Jews. So they're not talking two-state solution. They chant this in the streets today. From the river, Jordan River, to the sea, Palestine will be free. They leave this part out, of Jews. But that is what they're saying. So the Israeli Air Force, write this down. This one's still available on Amazon Prime. Above and beyond, smuggling planes in Israel for the 1948 war. It's an awesome documentary, Above and Beyond. And Against All Odds, again, I ordered the DVD yesterday, where it says it'll be here by November 4th. If we're not raptured here by then, we'll put it on the put on the thing. So then verse 28 through 33, and you know what? We're not going to get into manna. We're not going to have manna till next week. It's going to be a diet. 28. However, the king of the people of Ammon did not heed the words which Jephthah sent him. Then the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed through Mizpah and of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he advanced towards the people of Ammon. Go to verse 32. So Jephthah advanced towards the people of Ammon, to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he defeated them from Aroer as far as Minith, 20 cities, and to Abel Keramim, with a very great slaughter. Today, genocide. The Jews are doing genocide. Now, the whole world needs to go against them. No, it's not genocide when you're defending yourself against annihilation. Thus, the people of Ammon are subdued before the children of Israel. Self-defense is okay. And so we have to change the title of the service. We have to do the different verses. Because we're not going to get into Exodus. Which the next chapter in Exodus next week, we'll pick it up, is God providing manna after the people complain again. Again, the Jews are not super spiritual people, but they're the promised people. And then we're going to see that God gives them manna, lets them complain, gives them manna for 40 years, so that 1,500 years later, Jesus is going to say, I'm the true manna that came down from heaven. You know, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and died. I'm the true manna. If you take of me, you'll live forever. And the whole world is rejecting the true manna, nearly. But we're here to embrace the true manna, Jesus. We're here to recognize he is the God of gods and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the true creator of the universe. When we look out, like we're being encouraged by this being family, you know, with that one song about just looking out at the birds and looking out at everything. The God that we serve and love is the one who created all those. And they're still in harmony with their creator. And man fell and got out of harmony with their creator. And that lack of harmony is a whole bunch of people that serve Satan. And Satan wants to destroy everything that God wants to embrace. God wants all people to come to saving faith in him. He sent his son so that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Satan does everything he can through the people that serve him, which is the Muslim world, and every other false religion. But right now, the spotlight is on the Muslim world. Their God wants to use their people, those people that serve him, and the Quran, and what the Quran says. And I've read the Quran. It is a violent book. It doesn't have the word love in it for anybody. You know what the Bible has? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love those who despitefully use you. Is that what the Quran says? Yeah. Exact opposite. Exact opposite. We serve a God of love. If Allah is God, we're going to a place where there's death and destruction and misery and fighting and hating. If this is the true God, and he is, then I'm going to a place where it's love. And we have complete love and communion with the God who loved us so much. He created all this beauty. And we get to worship him, and we want to worship him, and he wants us to be able to enjoy an eternity of complete bliss in a place called heaven. Because we laid down our animosity against him, which the rest of the world is like, who cares about God? Who cares about these Christians and about you young? I was watching something yesterday. You know, all these young earth creationists, they're just such lamos. They're being deluded by somebody who, by the enemy of their soul, to be deceived into a godless forever eternity in a place called hell. And we want to worship the true God. And if God chooses to use the Jews to show his right hand of power throughout all of history, then true Christians who love him should say, as messed up as they are, God, even though they've rejected Jesus as their Savior, we know you're using them. And we so thank you, God, that you left a witness to use them to cause people to believe in you. and believe in the Messiah. And the Jews are going to have a revival. They're going to come to saving faith in Jesus. Let's pray, and then the Springman family can come up here as we close in a verse. Has anybody, been fighting God on this issue, and you want to humble and submit and give your life to Jesus? Is there anybody that wants to just today? I want to submit to this God of the Bible and let Jesus be the Savior of my life. Anybody? All right. Father, we thank you for this time. As we do stand on what even all the world leaders are saying is the precipice of a war that we haven't seen since 73. And possibly a war like the world has never seen. We just rejoice, God, that your prophetic word lets us know the end from the beginning. It lets us know that your promises to your people are going to be kept because you are the true God. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us in educating our own selves, our families, and the people that we love and care that are being deceived by the lies, as the hatred that Satan has towards the Jewish people has been vicious for millennia, God, to try and exterminate the very people that you are trying to use as a witness. And we pray that we would help people to come to a saving faith in you as a result of what you're about to do. On behalf of Israel. We thank you, God, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So how many think it was a coincidence that he called me 2 weeks ago about being able to come here? just think of even the coincidence of being in this section of Exodus and just, being blessed by the Springman family and truly a blessing. And we are so thankful that it worked out for you to be able to come. And here's one final closing thought. Jan Markell, how many of you follow Jan Markell's ministry? And I didn't see this. Somebody told me that she was saying it. She's getting letters from Christians all over the country saying, Jan, my church said nothing, acted like nothing is even happening in the Middle East. And it was just like, they're so troubled. And I'm just so thankful that you support the passion God's given me, that we cannot be silent on these issues, that we have to educate people, because you're the missionaries to go out there and dispel and beat down the lies of the enemy that people are being deceived into. And may God use you. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again. There's Springmans who will be out there, and they have things that you can take home. Their CDs, and get blessed by them by doing that. And yeah, go ahead.
I just want to bring you greetings from our church. We go to Riverside Catholic Chapel and in Langley. And it's amazing, as we travel around and play in Calvary Chapel Church, a church body that teaches Bible. They have this understanding of Israel.
Yeah, so you mean the Bible should be taught in church?